last night in Detroit, a performance from Interlochen Arts Academy students and the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and the start of a tour to mark America's 250th birthday and begin the countdown to Interlochen's 100th birthday. This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. We'll check in with our music director, Amanda Sewell, in just a few minutes. First, though, we're turning our attention to a matter of state policy and how our systems work here in Michigan. Mental health care, in northern Michigan especially, can be difficult to access. 6 months ago, state lawmakers heard weeks of testimony about the state's struggling mental health system and a critical lack of providers. That lack is especially pronounced here in our part of the state. Lawmakers and advocates want to see a report that was supposed to come out of those hearings months ago. Max Howard reported on this story and is here in the studio with us now. Hey, Max.
Hey, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So the report that advocates are waiting for, tell us, why is it important and why haven't we seen it yet?
Right. So why it's important, you know, advocates and lawmakers spent a lot of time gathering this information, really getting a comprehensive picture of how the mental health system sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. And advocates like Kate Dahlstrom, who's the president of the Grand Traverse chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is expecting this report to serve as a guide to what Michigan does next. Of course, with it missing so far, advocates see this as the state dragging its feet on the next steps. So where the report is now, Dahlstrom said that she learned through emails with lawmakers, which she showed me, that the report has been ready to publish for months now, but is currently sitting in the Republican House Speaker Matt Hall's office, which is under review by policy and legal counsel.
Okay, so this report is built off of weeks of testimony. Tell us about what lawmakers learned. What do we know about that?
Right. So the subcommittee wrapped up in August after hearing, you know, testimony all summer from providers, advocates, and families. And it really revealed the state's lack of psychiatric beds. That often led individuals to end up, you know, in local emergency rooms or being picked up by law enforcement, which can, you know, result in being put in jail rather than finding mental health treatment. It's actually something we've reported, our local Grand Traverse Sheriff, Michael Shea, reporting as a problem. And on top of that, advocates are also saying the state has been underserved for years. Data compiled by the National Alliance on Mental Illness shows that Michiganders are 1.5 times more likely to be forced out of network for mental health care than for primary care. Hmm. Advocates say this is even worse for young people experiencing mental health problems in northern Lower Michigan and the Upper Peninsula, which has zero dedicated inpatient psych beds for children.
Wow. So problems compounded perhaps by our rural area and some of the access issues that are common here. You reached out, I know, to local lawmakers. What did they tell you about their take on the state of mental health care in northern Michigan?
Right. So I reached out to a few. I reached out to, you know, Republican Rep. John Roth, Senator John DeMuse. Neither of them got back to me in time for this story. But I did speak with Democratic Rep. Betsy Cafillo, who represents Leelanau County, along with parts of Grand Traverse and Benzie. And she says when the report comes out, it's going to paint a pretty stark picture, she thinks.
I think that a report like that going public will hit a nerve for a growing number of people in this state who are dealing with this themselves, who have loved ones, families, you know, staff at their workplace who are dealing with it.
And, you know, beyond that, Kavi expressed frustration about a bipartisan lack of urgency to address the state's mental health crisis. Part of that reluctance, she says, is because things like pediatric beds, I mean, it just costs money. And when the state, you know, whether it's a Democratic governor or Republican speaker, is not willing to prioritize this, people are not going to get the care they need.
Max, thanks for coming in.
Of course.
His reporting will be on our website a little later today. That's interlochenpublicradio.org. A crowd gathered at Orchestra Hall in Detroit last night to see students from Interlochen Arts Academy play with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. This is part of a larger tour that will take these students to Philadelphia and Boston in a concert and multimedia show that celebrates the nation's 250th birthday and begins the countdown to Interlochen's centennial in 2028. IPR Music Director Amanda Sewell joins us now on the phone from Detroit to tell us how it went. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, greetings from Detroit.
Greetings. They are, these students and the DSO, last night, they're debuting a work by Wynton Marsalis. And I'm kind of curious, what's different about doing a concert like that with a new work versus, you know, playing something that was written 100 years ago or more?
Well, they also played a piece that was written 100 years ago on last night's program, as well as this new work by Wynton Marsalis. But I'll tell you, even the work they played from 100 years ago, the Charles Ives Symphony No. 4, none of these are pieces that I bet anyone in the audience had heard in concert before. So even if it was the century-old piece or the brand-new piece by Wynton Marsalis, I think everybody was hearing these works last night for the very first time, which is kind of cool when you think about whether it was the past or the future, as it were, with this new Marsalis concerto, that everyone was experiencing it for the first time together.
You hosted a live broadcast of the concert last night that we aired here on Classical IPR. I'd love for you to give us a sense of the scene last night. We could certainly hear it on the air, but what was it like to be in the room?
It was so amazing, Ed. I was so impressed at how many families were in attendance at this concert. High school, middle school, of course, but even younger, elementary, even preschool age. And I had several parents tell me that this was their kids' first orchestra concert that they had ever gone to. So really incredible that families chose this concert for their first time to bring their kids to an orchestra concert.
I'm curious how an audience outside of Interlaken responds to something like this. You know, we saw the dress rehearsal here last week. It premiered here over the weekend. What's the sense away from our campus, you know, where we're not already excited about these kinds of things? What was the feeling in Detroit?
Well, Interlaken's reach is far and wide. So there were plenty of folks at this concert last night with deep Interlaken ties. I saw a number of people who were wearing Interlaken gear there with a logo gear, several people wearing their white button-down shirt with a red sweater over it, which is what the students in the World Youth Symphony Orchestra wear in the summer. So a lot of people repping their Interlaken pride, even if they were in Detroit. So people are very, very connected to Interlaken, regardless of where they are, and they brought that pride to Orchestra Hall last night.
Amanda Sewell, thank you so much for taking time for us this morning.
Thanks, Ed.
And that's the lowdown for this Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening. We're going to leave you with some sounds from last night in Detroit. This is Interlaken Public Radio.
Support for Interlaken Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.